Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the radio program, Today's Issues. Today's Issues is what you're listening to here on AFR, American Family Radio, on this Wednesday. What day is it, Ed?
It is Wednesday, August 15th.
Bum, 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 bum. You know what I'm doing right there? By the way, hold on. Let me introduce you formally.
Yes.
Well, you're not formally. You are Ed
yes.
Vitagliano. Right?
Yes. I'm not formally Ed Vitagliano, but you're right. Introducing me formally.
Like the artist formerly known as Prince.
Yeah. You're not, people going, you're not I don't get it.
You're not the talk show host formerly known as Ed. You are Ed.
Yes.
Remain Ed. Walker Wildman. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning. Good to be here.
What news? Well,
it's think about it now.
Is that
Walker,
ABC?
Walker
ABC
would,
News.
Bum, 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 bum.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They would.
That's
say,
not 60 Minutes, is it?
No, it's Nightline.
Oh, and Nightline.
And
okay.
That may be Chris Woodward here. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
It may be ABC's news intro music anyway,
yeah.
But I think it got its start with Ted Koppel and Nightline. In the Iranian hostage situation.
Oh, all right.
And the reason that came to mind was because that's just the way my mind works.
Yes.
Number one and number two, but I got somebody to marry me.
Yeah.
Even with the way my mind works. Yeah. Can you believe that?
Oh, man.
Anyway, she fell for it and Walker's here today.
Yeah. So the rest, as they say.
Wednesday, August the 15th.
Oh.
You know, they would say,
yeah.
Whatever the day is, mm-hmm. Wednesday, August the 15th. Bum, 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 bum.
And I have told this before, yeah. But we probably have a lot of new listeners since the last time I told it. You remember the Today Show started way back in the 70s
yeah,
or
Tom
something.
Snyder, right?
In the morning, it would come on. And my dad and I, I was in high school, I think, when it started coming on in the morning. And they would introduce it before I knew the name of the show was Today.
Mm-hmm.
And they would come on in the first thing in the morning. They said, "Good morning, this is Today." my dad and I, the first few times that happened, I said, well, what other day do they think it could have been? This is Today. I said, how stupid are these guys? Right. And it was the name of the show.
Yeah.
Good morning, this is Today.
Today on NBC. As opposed to yesterday on NBC,
yep.
Which you can find, which you could have watched yesterday.
Yes.
All
I
right.
will say, though. To
yes,
not
Walker.
Be around during that time, I at least guess the right network.
Yes, you do. I think ABC may still use that, that theme that I just get bump, bump. I think they do, in fact. All right, so much to talk about today. Chris Woodward from OneNewsNow.com. Chris, good morning to you.
Good morning. Thank you very much.
Let me just say that Pastor Greg Laurie will be with us at a quarter after.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk about situation with his ministry in his home state of California and a billboard company banning his advertisement for a crusade. And we'll tell you why. You're not going to believe this. So, and much more to discuss today. Chris, what's on tap? Get us started.
Well, there's so much to talk about, but at OneNewsNow.com today, we are following up on last night's primaries. A lot of states in our great country had primaries last night, and various candidates won this primary or that primary for a host of offices. I think one of the more talked about people today is going to be a guy named Dave Hallquist. Now, he is the Democratic gubernatorial candidate for Vermont. Hallquist, who identifies as a woman named Christine, won the Democratic primary for Vermont governor, and he spoke after winning the Democratic primary for governor in Vermont. This is clip two.
I am so proud to be the face of the Democrats tonight.
And your face.
It may not be the best face, but it's...
Now, Hallquist is going to be going up against the Republican governor of Vermont, Phil Scott, who, interestingly enough, was praised by the American Legislative Exchange Council earlier this year for being very pro-tax reform and made various free market initiatives in his State of the State address. So you have a Republican in blue state Vermont going up against a far-left Democrat for the governor of Vermont. This is going to be one of the more talked about things. People obviously are going to be looking to other transgender candidates, as they call themselves, to run for office. This man, Hallquist, is going to be the face of the Democratic Party today, as he mentioned in his speech.
What are you guys looking at me for?
What do you think?
I'm waiting to see what you say, Ed.
Well, let me just tell you, as a person who grew up in
being monitored by right-wing watch.
Yes. Okay. Not like Brian Fisher is monitored, monitored sometimes.
Right. So go ahead.
I was going to say, as a person who grew up in New Hampshire, right next door to Vermont, I am not surprised. Even back then, Vermont was always the kind of wacky hippie state. Even back then, you never knew what you're going to get in Vermont. Now there's some good salt of the earth people who are farmers and all that kind of stuff. But, here's the thing. I mean, the fact that this man, and it is a man, and he's kind of a bruising looking guy. I mean, this is not a petite man. This is a big man with a wig and wearing a sweater and a dress.
He's got some broad shoulders.
Broad shoulders.
He could take you know, like in a wrestling match, most people he would take down.
Here's what I'll say. This may be controversial for some of our listeners. I mean, there's nothing to say that this individual can't make a good politician just because he's transgender. I don't know what his ideas are. The fact of the matter is, though, that everyone is joining him in his error and treating him. Even the newspaper, the Burlington Free Press, has, you know, video of his, acceptance speech or, victory, primary victory party, I think. And underneath it says Christine Hallquist. So everyone is joining with the obvious problem that this man has. He's struggling with his gender, and you would think that you would not have a person.
I don't think he's struggling at all. He's dressed like a woman.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's already decided he's going to pretend he's a woman.
And everyone's going to join him in that pretense.
Walker?
Yeah, this is more telling to Ed's point about the electorate. I mean, there had to be enough folks to get this guy elected in the Democratic primary. So, you know, this all boils down to the sin problem in our country. And the Democrats obviously are okay with having this person potentially be there. Is he running for governor?
Yeah, he's running for governor.
But on a serious, this is going to sound like a joke, but I'm being serious. You know, if you're having trouble, you know, being confident in how God created you with your sex, then if you're having trouble with that, then are you going to be able to make decisions for an entire state? Good decisions for an entire state? And I think that's the question that should be.
Well, I tell you what. So what you're going to have in Vermont is now we have set for the general election coming up in November. The current governor, Republican, what's his name?
Bill Scott.
Okay. And he's got to go up against this transgendered
man
whose name is what? Hallquist?
Dave Hallquist. He's a businessman.
But he goes by Christine.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. I'm just glad it's not me.
What's not you?
Running? Running against him slash her.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't do a debate with a straight face. You know what I'm saying? Can you imagine this debate is going to be up there and Governor Scott has to look across and he sees this man dressed up like a woman and he has to
call him a her.
Does he?
Yeah, or he'll lose. I'm just telling you.
He'll be blasted by the media. Won't
he will not survive calling Christine Hallquist Dave or referring to him as a he.
Yeah. I think what's going to happen in a debate situation, the media are going to make it a point to ask him social conservative questions, and they're going to use this as a reason to bring that up, to put him on the spot.
They're going
to
bait him.
I wonder if he'll probably take care of all that before the election. I don't know what Governor Scott's views are on transgenderism, but I would guess, I don't know what they are, so maybe it won't even be an issue in the election. You're saying it's a very liberal state, Ed, right?
Vermont's very liberal, even for New England.
Mm-hmm. So he would, I don't know, we'll have to wait and see. But what we're saying here is this is the first man dressed like a woman who won a major party's gubernatorial primary. Mm-hmm. That's right?
Yes.
Because this fella here, he's dressed up like a woman, and he calls himself a woman. One interesting note on that, you're right, Ed. He's confused, I would say. But here's the thing. In our culture today, we're supposed to call you can't call Bruce Jenner. I mean, you can't call Bruce Jenner Bruce anymore.
You got to call him Caitlyn.
He and Caitlyn. But the left has not, those people who buy into this as acceptable and normal have not answered the question that comes from that we have about where do you draw the line with this? Because can I self-identify as a Chinese person? Me, Tim Wildman, a white male.
Right.
Can I identify as a Chinese person and you must refer to me as Sung Young because that's how I identify? What's the difference between that?
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Which may qualify me for some kind of scholarship for college.
Right.
If I identify as a minority, right?
Yes.
What's the difference between that? Because that's not reality.
Right.
And pretending a man is a woman because he puts on a dress and some makeup and calls himself a woman.
Right.
So we all act like he is a woman. We have to pretend. Nobody's answered that question.
Right.
Satisfactory.
Right.
Satisfactory.
They're joining the individual in their pretense.
In their delusion.
Everyone, we've seen some of these people go on college campuses and they'll get the young people into that discussion.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll say, yeah, you're a bobcat, you know, or yeah, okay, you're Chinese. We all know that person's pretending, but they're also pretending about the man who calls himself a woman.
Right, right. Now, if a man wants to dress up like a woman, that's his business, but don't call him a woman.
Right.
Because he's not.
Right.
And we all know he isn't, so we're being dishonest.
Yes. Right.
Okay. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues. Today's Issues is the name of the program, American Family Radio. We are honored to have with us now Pastor Greg Laurie from California. He's a senior pastor at Harvest Christian Fellowship. Pastor Laurie, I guess, is better known to most people listening to us today as a evangelist, a stadium evangelist. Those are rare today. You don't have crusades much anymore. But Pastor Laurie joins us from California. Pastor Laurie, this is Tim. We appreciate you being on with us this morning.
Tim, thanks for having me on your show.
Well, thank you very much. Hey, we wanted to have you on. By the way, how many stadium crusades do you do annually now?
Well, they vary anywhere from, we've done as many as five in a year to two in a year, but we do one that's very large. We just finished it in Texas at the AT&T Stadium, and it's sort of like doing 10 crusades at once because it was an event called Harvest America, and 2 years ago we had over 350,000 people either in the stadium or in a host site around the country. So we're just using technology to have a larger footprint now.
350,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, we'd like that mailing list.
I don't think I have them all on a mailing list.
Now we'll pay you fair price for it. We just need to get hold of that thing. That many Christians. Tell us what happened with you and this billboard company.
Yeah, so basically what happened was we advertise our event, and we have billboards, and we have posters and bumper stickers and et cetera. So this year, I chose sort of an overt image. It's an image of me holding up a Bible, and it just says SoCal Harvest. And this is sort of a throwback to the old Billy Graham days when you'd see him holding up his Bible. And
right.
I thought, you know, I'm not ashamed of the fact that this is a Christian event, and I'm proclaiming the gospel. So it's not actually the sort of image we would have normally used, but we used it this year. Everyone was fine with it. It's on billboards. It's on posters. But we put it up at a couple of malls here in Orange County, where I am right now. And they printed it and put it up, prominently displayed in the mall. And a couple of weeks went by, and then we were called by the company, and they said, we've had some complaints about this image of you holding the Bible, and we're wondering if you would change the poster. We'll pay for everything and do something where you don't have that image. And, you know, I could have dug in and said, no, I'm not going to change it, but we wanted to be good neighbors, and I wanted to maybe do some advertisements there in the future. So I gave them a sort of a more generic image like we would normally have printed. They were getting ready to put that up, and then they called us back and said, we're not going to put up the new image. The old one's coming down. We'll refund your money, and that's the end of it. And so I was told that I would have a conversation with the vice president with the company, and he would explain it to me. He never called, and that was it. Well, CBN, the Christian Broadcasting Network, picked up the story, and it went viral. It became a national news story, and it resulted in me doing a lot of interviews, including this one, on a show like yours. And I was on Fox and Friends. I went back to New York to talk about it. And it became a thing because, you know, here's what's interesting, Tim, to me. It's in the image. You can't see it. We're on radio, of course. But if you Google Greg Laurie, comma, Bible, you'll see the stories. But in the image, I'm holding up a black book. Now, it's a black and white photo, so it might have been a red book or a yellow book or a book on butterflies. No one knows. I'm holding up a black book. Now, it is the Bible, I'll admit it. But there's no cross on it. There's no ribbons coming out of the bottom of it, telltale signs of a Bible. So now not only is it offensive to some people to have a Bible being held up on an art piece that is paid for promotion, but now it offends people if you hold up just a black book.
Yeah, Pastor Laurie, this is Ed. I'm looking at, I've done as you have suggested, and I see the story from CBN. I'm looking at the billboard that's hanging down inside the mall, and there's actually nothing, even with you holding up the Bible, there's actually nothing in the whole thing that says anything about Christianity or evangelism. It says SoCal Harvest Greg Laurie. It has some of the people who will be there, like Lincoln Brewster will be doing some music. I love Lincoln Brewster. So the only thing I can gather is that people who know who you are and know what you're holding and what a harvest means, in other words, an evangelistic outreach, those are the people who complained. And so let me just ask you this. You travel around the country. You do a lot of these kinds of events. Do you, in terms of the last 10, 20 years, do you think this is just a small percentage of our country that are just kind of, they hate the gospel, they hate God, they don't want that in public, or has there been a major shift to where the majority of people don't want Christianity in public?
That's a great question. It's not easy to answer because I guess it depends on where you are. If we're having this conversation about Portland, Oregon, it might be a different answer than Dallas, Texas. Right?
Right.
So, because we use the same image in Dallas, Texas for the event I mentioned earlier, Harvest America, not a single complaint, but that's Dallas, Texas. This is Southern California. It's a different place. I think it depends where you are. I don't think the majority of people in America are offended by the Bible. You know, 9 out of 10 Americans have a Bible in their home. And people understand that the Bible is a book they can turn to in times of need and times of challenge. So it's a part of our culture, but I do think there's a vocal minority that speaks up very loudly, and they make their voice heard. And so the thing is we need to speak up too. And when something like this happens, I think we need to stand up without apology and say, this is the book that transformed our lives. And more to the point, it's not the book itself, it's God who speaks to us through the Bible. Christ is the one who changes lives, but he does so through the teachings of Scripture. All we know about God is found on the pages of the Bible. So, you know, here's the bottom line. This turned out to work in our favor. I think what the enemy meant for evil, God used for good. You know, for a couple of billboards in a mall, in exchange, I received an opportunity to talk about our event, which is August 17 to 19 at Angel Stadium. And by the way, people can watch it live online by going to our website, harvest.org. But also, I was able to talk about the Bible to a larger audience. And so to me, it's really worked out in our favor. And I think a lot of people were outraged, even non-believers, saying this is going too far.
Pastor Greg Laurie, our guest. Pastor, what's your website? And we appreciate you being on with us today.
Thanks very much. The best thing, just go to harvest.org, and you'll find out all that you need to know about what we're doing. But, you know, I just wanted to say, this makes me want to step up my efforts. I'll probably be more aggressive next year. Maybe I'll just have the cross, you know, boldly on our art. But I'm not going to back down. I'm going to do more.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it, Greg.
Thank you, guys. God bless you.
That's Greg Laurie joining us from Southern California.
That guy's Pastor Laurie is a modern day champion. He's like Franklin Graham. Mm-hmm. These are men who boldly preach the gospel, but they will not back down from a fight either. And those guys kind of guys are a increasingly rare breed. Mm-hmm. Many Christians are intimidated into silence.
Pastor Laurie doesn't go looking for a fight.
Right.
But when the fight comes to him, he doesn't back down. I remember the time he was doing a National Day of Prayer event, Pastor Laurie, at the Pentagon. This is about 5-6 years ago. And the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgendered folks, some of them, who didn't like Pastor Laurie because he thinks homosexuality is a sin, according to the scripture. He doesn't have hate speech or anything like that. They just didn't like the fact that he was coming to do a prayer event at the Pentagon for people who wanted to come. Mm-hmm. And so they protested him. And I want to say he didn't, that the no, it, the event was not canceled, and he didn't back out. And he said, to quote Tom Petty, "I won't back down."
Yeah.
Pastor Laurie did.
Right.
And I thought, what a great line here.
And
so that shows you his character. Again, you're right. There are fewer of them than we need out there in the Christian community. We have a lot of cowards, you know, who will tuck tail and run, mm-hmm. first sign of criticism. But Pastor Laurie is a champion, as you say.
Something I thought was interesting about this particular story, the mall in question is in historically Republican Orange County. It's in that same area. And interestingly enough, I looked it up. The name of the mall is Fashion Island. Fashion Island has a Barnes & Noble booksellers. Barnes & Noble sells Bibles. So the mall is saying, we don't like your sign. I wonder if they've ever told Barnes & Noble what to sell in their bookstores.
Did he say he ever got to the bottom of who protested this?
No.
The company won't call him back.
They won't
tell
call
him
back.
Yeah.
I'm reading from this, again, this CBN News story. That's a Christian news outlet. Says the claim was the religious imagery on the ads provoked multiple complaints, including a serious threat.
Mm-hmm.
And so the company said, we're just pulling it all together.
Yeah. We had a story on this. Steve Jordahl did an article on this last Friday. The headline is Ad Barred Over Image of the Bible, and it features Pastor Laurie talking to R. Janet Mefford about this on American Family Radio. So you can go to onenewsnow.com, search for Greg Laurie. It should pop up.
And we'll post that
story. Yes, post it on the Facebook page.
By the way, Walker, we failed to mention, what are we doing today for this show on the internet?
Yeah, we're video streaming, so if you want to watch the show, see our studios here in North Mississippi, you can go to Facebook or YouTube. Just type in Today's Issues, and all the news articles we talk about are posted on Facebook.
Hey, Brent, did we ever get our second camera fixed? So we actually have two cameras in our studio. That one and
this one, three.
Oh, we have three angles? So if a crime's committed in this room, we're going to catch them.
Oh, yeah.
Because we got three security cameras in here. So, all right, we shall return. Abraham Hamilton III is supposed to come over here and grace us with his presence, but I don't see him right now. We'll go round him up. we'll be back in a minute.
On the next Today's Issues.
Walker Wildman is handling our Facebook presence in the world.
Yeah, if you have a Facebook account, just type in Today's Issues in your search bar, and then our page will pop up. and you can watch the show there every day, or you can view all the articles that we talk about.
Right, but you can also be our friend.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
Hello, I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. Well, the last 2 years, we've just had tremendous response, early response to the announcement that we're going to Israel on a Holy Land tour. We're going March of this year. We go March of every year. Last year, we filled up like early fall, and I expect us to fill up early fall this year as well. So if you're interested in this March 14th through the 22nd tour, and you'll be going with primarily supporters of AFA and AFR, just get the brochure and check it out. You can call us today at 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, option 5, and leave us your name and your address, and we'll mail you a brochure. If you simply want to go online, all the information is there. It's at twholyland.com, twholyland.com. If you want to go in March, we're filling up, and we're filling up fast, so check it out, twholyland.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Hi, this is Todd Starnes from Fox News, and one of the things I love about Liberty University is the broad vision they have for their students. Instead of simply preparing them for a career, Liberty helps students grow into mature men and women of character, striving to impact their career fields for Christ. Liberty University is the largest Christian university in the world, offering more than 550 programs of study. Visit liberty.edu to learn more. Again, that's liberty.edu. San Francisco has come up with a plan to deal with citizens who are defecating on public sidewalks. They plan on forming poop patrols. In all seriousness, ladies and gentlemen, city leaders are dispatching public works teams to scoop up human and animal waste. It's the city's number one problem. The San Francisco Chronicle reports more than 14,000 people have called to complain. Sadly, the living conditions in some parts of San Francisco are appalling. Drug users and drunks passed out on sidewalks, dirty, used needles all over the place. It's so bad subway conductors warn passengers to check their seats before sitting down. City leaders are spending $1 million to build more public toilets, but in the meantime, they hope the poop patrol will do the trick. And you thought the guy who cleans up after the elephants in the circus parade had a lousy job. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the program Today's Issues here on the American Family Radio Network. As Walker said a few minutes ago, if you want to watch this program, we're live video streaming at Facebook and YouTube. So check that out for Today's Issues, and Walker's posting the stories that we are discussing so you can read them for yourself. We were honored to have Pastor Greg Laurie on a few minutes ago, a well-known evangelist who travels the country. Well, I think he has crusades internationally as well.
Yeah, I think that's right.
But he may be the last of the stadium crusade guys out there. Franklin Graham still does some.
Yeah, and, I don't know.
But I don't know of any other. That maybe the on a small scale, there may be some, but
well, obviously, if God's in it, it's still a valuable outreach venue because He fills those places up.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
People come out to those.
I went to one stadium crusade in our hometown here, Tupelo, Mississippi, back in the late 70s, and it was David Wilkerson.
Really.
Crossing the
Switchblade, yeah.
It was David Wilkerson and Dallas Holm.
I remember Dallas Holm.
The great gospel singer.
Yeah.
And they came to, so it was a high school football stadium, and they did those all over the country back then.
So there's probably
what was that song that Dallas Holm did? The
Rise Again.
Rise Again. Yeah, I remember
classic.
That.
Well, he did some others too. He did. I had the best of Dallas Holm CD, but he Rise Again is probably his signature song.
Right.
And but there's probably a lot of people listening to me right now who also went to a David Wilkerson Dallas Holm crusade because he went to high school stadiums all over America.
He started Teen Challenge, didn't he?
Uh-huh. David Wilkerson. David Wilkerson. Yep. Yeah, he passed away. Probably
three or four years ago. Yeah,
three or four
like
years
that.
Ago. Yeah, he had a Times Square church.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's what he was known for. Oh, well, he's known for the best known for the Cross and the Switchblade book, which later became a movie.
Right.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues here on American Family Radio. And Chris Woodward, I want to reintroduce Chris. Chris,
yes.
You had 7 words so far on this show.
Filling in for the Canadian Cowboy.
8, 9, 10, 11,
the Canadian Cowboy.
8, 9, 10, 11, 12. You had 12 words now. I just counted those. You have 32.
Okay.
No, 30. Well, that's – how many is that now, Ed?
Plus 33 now.
I'm going to make words great again.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Make
now,
words great again.
Chris Woodward is with American Family Radio, and he's here – to introduce a lot of the stories we want to discuss, but we've got some great guests, too, that we wanted to get to. But Chris is with us, Walker, Ed, and Tim. Abraham Hamilton III, also known as Abe, is here with us on Wednesdays. Abe is a constitutional attorney. He's public policy analyst for American Family Association and has a radio program each afternoon here on AFR from 5:05 to 6 o'clock Central Time. Called the Hamilton Corner. Good morning, Abe.
Good morning, Tim. Guys, how you all doing?
Good. Doing well. Abe, we've noticed this is not necessarily a legal question, although this is happening with cases in the courts. Jack Phillips, the baker from Colorado. We're going to talk to him in 20 minutes, by the way, 20 or 30 minutes, about the situation out there. But this, we're talking to Pastor Laurie, a few minutes ago. And then Dr. Robert Jeffers, the First Baptist Church, had the same thing happen to him, First Baptist Church Dallas, a few weeks ago, where a billboard company got a few phone calls about a billboard advertising a Christian message, whether it be tune into our church service on TV Sunday to talk about so-and-so. I think that was the case of Pastor Jeffers. Or in Southern California, you had Pastor Laurie just advertising a crusade, and there's a picture of him holding up the Bible, and that was too offensive to put up. We're supposed to be living in a world of diversity and tolerance and progressing, and here we have this growing hostility towards Christianity. So this doesn't seem to... Seems to be a contradiction out there.
Yeah, what Pastor Laurie, and you said a picture of a Bible. How do you know it was even a Bible? There was nothing
That's
in the
true.
Picture that indicated
there
was that
nothing,
it was a Bible.
There was nothing
there was
on the billboard
no cross,
that even said Christianity or evangelism?
Nothing. It was just inferred that it could, may, possibly be a Bible.
No, it's like what Ed said, talking to Pastor Laurie. Mm. The people who were complaining, they knew that it was a Bible, even though it wasn't shown as a Bible. Mm. They knew it was an advertisement for a Christian crusade. That's what they were objecting to.
Because they knew who Greg Laurie was.
And my point is that's even worse. Yeah. You know, that's even worse than having a visual depiction of the Bible. So whereas now you're saying that a billboard company can backpedal out of its agreement to put up an image based on some people's inference that it could be something Christian. I mean, that's even more extreme than actually having an image that is objectionable. Mm-hmm. And, you know, of course, I'm aware that most of these billboard contracts include in there a provision that would allow the billboard company to object to certain presentations, images, or whatever they find it to be objectionable. But in this instance, in my opinion, it creates a clear ground for Greg Laurie at a minimum to push to determine, well, what is it exactly about the image that was unacceptable? Mm-hmm.
They discriminated. This company discriminated. This is me talking here. I don't have a dog in the hunt, and I'm not a lawyer. But to me, this is a company discriminating against Pastor Laurie because he's a Christian.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So
absolutely.
I don't know if you can do that in America.
Well, you're not supposed to be able to do it legally. Everybody can claim discrimination it seems, again, except Christians.
Yeah, Abe, here's the thing. We have this Greg Laurie case in California. We have these are kind of similar regarding speech. You have Alex Jones last week being banned off of all the major tech platforms. You have the bakers being forced to bake the cake. You have Pastor Jefferson, Texas, Pastor Robert Jeffers. He can't put a billboard up celebrating the anniversary of the church. Nothing, yes, about a Bible or anything. So at what point do those we disagree with in our country, specifically Democrats and those on the left, at what point do they say, okay, we don't agree on everything, but at least you have the right to put up a billboard, or at least you have the right to be on Facebook?
Well, as Senator Chris Murphy said, that he feels like what the tech giants did was just the beginning, that we love it, we want more of it. These people, quite frankly, and it's becoming more and more evident for all the world to see, is that they do not like free speech. They don't like free speech. They want only the messaging that they agree with, that they support, that will go along with the further indoctrination of our society, to embrace all, quite frankly, anti-Christ positions that they can articulate. That those are the only positions that are welcome in the public square. If you have a Christian view, a Christian message, that you are being excoriated and you are being led away from being able to engage publicly.
I don't know if Pastor Laurie would do this, but assuming it's going to happen to somebody else, I mean, would you recommend that they pursue legal recourse here? I don't know if that's the word to use.
I would. If I had the opportunity to advise Pastor Laurie, I would encourage him to file a lawsuit urging violation of his First Amendment freedoms, both the free exercise of religion and free speech. I think it's important to tie them together, what the Supreme Court failed to do in Masterpiece, tie them together, and immediately upon filing that suit, demand by court order all internal communications. What exactly was it that this company found to be objectionable about his image? Because it's evident to me that it is nothing other than invidious discrimination against a Christian viewpoint.
Just to answer the questions that the people on the left are screaming right now listening to AFR, they're saying, well, the baker shouldn't have to bake the cake, so why should the billboard company have to put up the billboard? So I know it's different. I'm being devil's advocate,
yeah,
but kind of lay that out and how those are two different situations.
Sure. Well, you have sword versus shield. So you have the free speech rights that we have in our country, that the overarching umbrella exercise rights that Jack Phillips was maintaining was his right to freely exercise his religion, being protected against the government compelling him to make certain forms of speech. In this instance, clearly there's no government action involved anywhere. You just have a company not welcoming another citizen, a company is considered a citizen, based on their Christian viewpoint. So you don't have any government action, first of all. And second of all, you have the clear religious freedom protections that are laid out in the Constitution and particularly in the First Amendment. So it may seem similar on the surface,
right,
but when you start to unpack it, those things are not the same. Jack Phillips should be able to decline the cake, and Greg Laurie should be able to put up his image of his book celebrating and advertising about the crusade.
One other, I guess, a broad question or general question here, and I sort of alluded to it earlier, Abe, and that is this the spirit of the age, so to speak? What I'm talking about is this growing in America now, which used to be known as a Christian country, is certainly Christian friendly, and in many respects, I guess we still are, but there is this growing hostility toward Christianity and Christians in America, as Greg Laurie says, a small vocal minority, but they wield a lot of power in places of influence. And, you know, if you marginalize a group of people for long enough, down the road, 10 years, 20 years, and you delegitimize their right to exist, so to speak. I don't know if I'm making myself clear, but if you, in other words, you Christians don't have a right to be heard because your message is not even legitimate. So we're going to ban you or censure you. You start with Alex Jones, I guess, Greg Laurie, Robert Jeffress, as Walker cited some of these examples that are going on around the country. And you see, I'm not saying Alex Jones is banned because of his Christian message, but I'm just saying, you see, if this is not contended with, if this is not called out, if this is not stopped, you know, like I said, 10, 20 years from now, we could be rounded up. You know, by rounded up, I mean, you see what happened to Jack Phillips. I mean, yeah. He got fined almost. They're wanting to shut down businesses that have Christians who.
That's not hyperbole, Tim. Okay. History has demonstrated this exact fact. What ended up with gas chambers started with you just having the wrong viewpoint, mm-hmm. you being of the wrong sort, having the wrong beliefs. That's how this starts. So it's not
right.
Hyperbolic to make this statement. Mm-hmm. And this is also the reason why a lot of people forget this, that after the founders had worked and banged out the Articles of the Constitution, many of those very same founders said, we're not signing that because the federal government seems to still have too much power. We need to have a Bill of Rights protecting individual liberty, the rights of citizens, in order to have any type of confidence in this national government. And so it wasn't until the Bill of Rights were promulgated that the founders even considered ratifying the Constitution. And so what we're witnessing is a complete trashing of that Constitution culturally.
All right. Who are you interviewing or what are you going to be discussing on the Hamilton Corner this afternoon?
I'm going to be talking about Jack Phillips' case because what we've learned, and this is something that's been in the hopper.
The new case?
The new case.
Which people don't know about yet.
Yeah, people don't know about it. So I don't want to spoil it. Okay. Somebody's going to be on the program. But I'm going to dig into that and dig into also, is this an indication of the spirit that is at work in driving the agenda to squelch out Christian viewpoints?
Because there is... I'm not necessarily relating this to Bible prophecy, although Bible prophecy does talk about what I said, quote, the spirit of the age, mm-hmm. that is an antichrist spirit that pervades the world. And, you know, that seems to be creeping upon us here in America by some of the things that we say. Now, we don't experience physical persecution.
Not yet.
Although I would tell you that having your business shut down in your home, having to be sold like Baronelle Stetsman,
right.
That's pretty close to physical persecution.
Yeah.
You know, it may be done in a civil way, but basically destroying your life because of your Christian faith. But it's worse physically in other places around the world. Mm-hmm. But I'm just saying the spirit of Antichrist, as mm-hmm. the Bible talks. Am I crazy?
No, you're not crazy, and it's relentless. And when you see that, we're now living in the fruit of seed that was sown a century or more ago. That there has been a consistent drumbeat going in this direction over time. I mean, we've lived through the removal of prayer from schools, and we lived through all of these other things that continually point in the same direction. And now, while the culture has been tenderized sufficiently, mm-hmm. there's an advancement of mm-hmm. now decrying speech.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this afternoon, 5:05 Central Time on American Family Radio. Abe will be hosting the Hamilton Corner. Do you have a Facebook or website or something?
Yes, so you can go to the Hamilton Corner on Facebook. You can watch the program live there. You can also go to the Hamilton Corner's YouTube channel and watch the show live in addition to listening live, and you can live stream it at AFR.net as
Thank
well.
Thank you, Abe.
All right, thank you, guys.
Appreciate it. Abraham Hamilton III. Abe also serves as public policy analyst for us here at American Family Association, so he is on staff, and
And general counsel for AFA. He's an attorney.
Right. And husband and dad of
five.
He just gave me the five out the window there. Abe did.
Yeah.
He heard. So five. Well, you never know around here. Things can change from one
day
to
the
next.
Tomorrow.
That's what I'm saying. People don't tell you. Oh, by the way, they just had another baby.
Yeah.
So all right. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Well, folks, you've been hearing on AFR our announcements for the Redeem Clean Laundry Detergent. And, you know, we have advocated boycotting companies like Target, for example, who do things that are anti-family, mm-hmm. such as saying that their women's restrooms are open for men to use. Mm-hmm. 1.5 million families have decided to boycott Target. That's the ones we know about because mm-hmm. of this. So it's nice, on the other hand, to promote companies that are for Christian principles and want to use their monies, as it were, to promote the kingdom of God. And that's what the guys do at Redeem Clean. And so we have Lynn Ingram is on with us. He's trying to get him on once a week to ask him a laundry question, and also to tell people about Redeem Clean. Lynn's been in the laundry business for several decades. It runs in his family. He's from Abilene, Texas. Lynn, good morning to you.
Hey, good morning, Tim. Beautiful day in West Texas.
Yeah, Lynn, I got to tell you, and I mean this as a compliment. You know that you're from West Texas by the way you talk. You know
I've been
that?
Working on that. I've been working on that.
No, don't work on it. It's great. It's great. I can, you know, I've talked to enough people about. I can tell if somebody's from. Yeah, I'm laughing with you, Lynn.
I hear Ed laughing in the background.
Ed grew up in New Hampshire. But you know what's so funny is I've talked to so many people. A lot of times I can tell you not just the distinctive of whether somebody has a New England accent
yeah.
or a West Coast accent or a Midwestern accent. I can tell yeah. you where they're, you know, within a 100-mile radius. Usually.
Wow.
I'm pretty good at that. I can tell. I used to be in the fair.
You'd guess a person's weight or where they're from.
Yeah, where they're from, where yeah. they were born. I used to do that for a living. Walker, my son, doesn't even know that part of my past. But I could tell if somebody's from East Tennessee or if they're from Mobile.
Really?
Yeah, that's pretty good at that. Anyway, Lynn, hey, you've been in the laundry business how many decades?
My dad started our business in 1950.
1950 in Abilene, Texas?
2 years older than I am.
Yeah. Wow, 1950 in Abilene, Texas. Okay, you and Jim Duncan we've talked about this before, created this laundry detergent, and by that I mean they put it all together and came to us at AFR and said, hey, we support you guys, and we want to support you by offering this laundry detergent for folks, and if they buy it, then we'll give part of the proceeds to AFA and AFR because we want to see y'all expand your ministry.
Mm-hmm. Tim,
yes.
Can I add one thing?
Yes,
to
please.
That? We have never dealt with the issues that you guys are dealing with that are a part of the culture change. Since we posted this, we've gotten email, and others talking, why would go to all this effort to support haters?
Hmm.
And that meaning the AFA and AFR being defined as a hate group. And this, to Jim and I, just energizes the things that we do to support you guys, to stand up and fight and let people know what is really going on. I have never experienced that in my life. And I'm 66 years old.
Right. Well.
So, Tim, it energizes Jim and I. Hey, we've read the book. We know the last chapter. We know who wins. And
yeah.
that's why this is so exciting. And thank y'all for allowing us to do this.
Amen, brother.
Thank mm-hmm. you.
Amen.
Thank
of course, you. It's not true. You know this already, but we don't hate anybody.
Right.
And we only proclaim the message of the Bible. And,
right.
and that is that we're all sinners. Whether you're a homosexual or a heterosexual, we're all sinners in need of forgiveness and grace, but we can't call something that the Bible says is immoral, we can't pretend that it's moral. So that doesn't mean we hate anybody. I'm preaching to the choir, I know, but a lot of people accept that hate. You're a hate group.
Right.
It's not
right.
true. It never has been.
Right.
And disagreement about does not represent. Hey, now, if you're talking about, if we were out here saying go out and beat up gays,
right?
You know what I'm saying? I would say, yeah, that's a hateful thing to do.
Right.
You're
yeah.
a hate group. Yes. I would say, absolutely. But nobody advocates that. We God loves homosexuals like he loves heterosexuals. We're all sinners in need of salvation. So
you bet.
Let
Tim,
me.
And Tim, I,
yeah.
and I only say that tongue in cheek, you know, that we're you're preaching to the choir. And
oh, I know.
Too,
I know.
And it's awesome.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Hey, all right, let's talk about, by the way, if you want to see all about this Redeem Clean laundry detergent, if you mentioned, go to afastore.net, 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 and you can read about it and purchase it and clean your clothes and help our ministry at the same time. All right, the question for the week, we've been asking you a question every week. Do I need to use softeners with Redeem Clean detergent?
You do not. If you'd like to, you're more than welcome to. Our detergents do contain a softening agent in each formula, but if you wish to add a softener, that's just fine. It'll only enhance the feel and the texture that you may desire, especially in really heavy garments like towels. But you can add it, but ours has it in it all in the normal blend.
I would say that is very similar to what happens at our house when we order a pizza from an unnamed pizza place. My wife likes to add feta cheese to her side, and I tell her, well, you can if you want, but on my half of the pizza, it's still just as good. So that's kind of what yeah. you're saying, exactly what you're saying,
that'll preach,
Lynn,
it.
Except different.
That'll preach.
Thank different. You for clarifying that.
So you don't need. So if I order the Redeem Clean laundry detergent today, I don't need a softener.
You know, it does not need softener. It already has a blend of it in there. And but you're always welcome to if you'd like to. It makes you feel better. It's really a psychological deal.
Hey, Lynn, this is Walker here.
Hi, Walker.
Hey, I can testify firsthand that I use Redeem Clean. I use the liquid. The blue liquid, not the scent-free, but the regular liquid. And
the scent-free?
Scent.
Scent-free.
Oh, I thought it was scent-free.
Okay. Yeah, so I use the regular Redeem Clean detergent, Lynn, and I can go out work in the yard all day, get all kind of dirt and stuff on my pants and my shirt, and once I put it in Redeem Clean and wash it, all that stuff comes out. So I'm not just telling you stuff that I've read online or that I've heard from others, but I've used it. I use it at least once or twice a week on a lot of my clothes.
Thank you, Walker. Thank you.
All right, afastore.net. Check it out, the Redeem Clean Laundry Detergent and other products there, afastore.net. And Lynn Ingram, one of the co-founders of Redeem Clean, is with us from Abilene, Texas. Lynn, talk to you next time.
Hey, you bet, Tim. Y'all have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye, y'all.
Bye. Lynn's a... Yeah, not going to be mistaken. Lynn's not going to be mistaken for a man from Brooklyn.
That's right.
Have I got that right?
You got that right.
You're on to something there.
My favorite person that I've ever interviewed, well, two people. One of them is the Attorney General currently for Louisiana. Love the accent. I mean, it's just...
Oh, a thick Cajun accent?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
I can't hardly understand those folks.
Well, I'm. You've interviewed me before. Apparently, I'm not in your top five favorite... Mind your top five.
You know, if you want to get a good.
I walked myself into that, didn't I? Yes.
A good sense of the Cajun accents, just watch Swamp People. I'm not sure if that show's still airing, but I think it's on the Discovery.
Oh, I know what you're saying. Yeah.
Swamp People.
And if you want to learn to talk Cajun, you watch that show for a few weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Learn some French, too.
That's a hybrid.
Learn how to kill a gator.
Hey, there are some people, and I've lived in this Mississippi my whole life, but there are some people, if I drive 20 miles... from my hometown out into the sticks.
There's can't some understand
people,
them.
I can't understand them. Right. And I lived here my whole, but, you know, that's just the way it is. I'm sure there are people in New Orleans, if they go, you know, 25 miles out into the swamp, they can't understand me.
Right.
It gets thicker and more distinct out there. Okay. So I'm
going to take a break. Go pack our cars out by the harbor.
We'll be back in 5 minutes. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.